Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, sir.
We are recording.
Okay, all right. The executive committee meeting of the LCRDA is called to order on July 24th at 11:02 a.m. How's everybody doing?
Well,
good.
Thank you.
Do we have any introduction of guests today?
No.
All right. There's no need to have an approval of participation by electronic means. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Any modifications to the agenda?
No, sir.
All right. Any public comment? I see no.
We did not receive any.
All right, great. Next order of business is number six. It's the approval of the draft meeting minutes for May 22nd, 2025. It's attachment A in our agenda packet. Any
motion
comments?
To approve.
All right. Motion to approve. Is there
second.
A second? Motion has been made and seconded for approval of the meeting minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion is unanimous. Moving on to number seven, Treasurer's Report, Mr. Dave Ramsey.
Not a whole lot of no surprises, really. If you look at the cash activity report, you should have had that in your packet that was sent to you. You see we started out the period at $1,670,000. That includes cash and investment accounts. We had deposits of around $58,000, but withdrawals and payments of $319,000. So our ending cash and investment portfolio was at $1,409,000. The biggest piece of that was a $251,000 payment of interest to Florida State Research Foundation for our loan. CAM collections were in there, that was good. Interest was about $6,000. So we ended up with a net cash outflow of $262,000. We continue to spend or have expenditures of more than we have receipts, and I see no change of that pattern. I'll ask staff, are you still of the opinion that we'll come in somewhere around $1 million at the end of the period?
We will come in somewhere, somewhere between 950 and 1.1 million, actually, and that's a function of a couple things, one of which is when we get bills for the pond work that has started, when we settle up with Florida State on some money we owe for the Parks Department, all of that, but that ballpark is going to be between, it'll be higher only if I haven't made some of those payments. Worst case is 950-ish, could be, but it'll be between 950 and 1.1.
Okay, well, as I reported, the big issue there was the expenditure of interest payment to FSU. Otherwise, we would have been much closer to only about a $10,000 deficit of cash. But otherwise, we continue to spend more than we bring in. Mr. Vice Chair, that is my report. I'm prepared to answer questions with the support of staff if there are any.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any comments or questions?
Not for me.
Right. Let me thank Annie and let me thank Michael for all the work they do with getting us prepared for these meetings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
All right.
Or are we approving or accepting?
Accepting.
Motion to accept.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, motion's been made and seconded for the acceptance of the Treasurer's Report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion is unanimous. Moving on to number eight, this is the lab IPT LH. Mr. Kramer.
Yep, and before we go to that, I meant to comment a couple things. If you dug into the financials, which I'm sure you guys spent a lot of time with, the RDA through the June period, we were $145,000 from an operational perspective under budget, okay, in terms of expenses. The lab was $172,000 over budget. Keep in mind, that lab has now been in our possession an additional 6 months. So that's $29,000 a month, roughly, that we're running. We had projected to end at $1 million, and we're going to end at that in spite of those two things. The reasons for that, if you're curious, would be that we have saved a ton of money, obviously, on operating expenses in the lab. In the RDA side. Obviously, Bill is no longer with us. And that the lab has been operating a little bit lower expense-wise, and we've collected revenues from the lab during that period of time as well. So that's the reason we're able to be lucky enough to kind of hit the number we started with, in spite of pretty dramatic expenses that we didn't anticipate. And actually, the big one, I did not anticipate, if we go back to our original assumptions, that we would be paying FSU a $250,000 payment in June, if you guys recall, I had expected to transfer the lab in December of 2024. So between the additional $175,000 in the lab and $250,000 to FSU, I mean, you're talking $400,000 in expenses that were not in our original projections.
A question.
Sir.
What do we expect from FSU relative to them accepting this lab? And have they figured out as long as we keep paying for it, it's okay to keep it?
I will cover that, but yes, we will cover that. And yes, they do expect to take the lab.
Okay.
But FSU is not the present holder. How's that?
All right.
So, a tangent question on all that. Do we have any sense for, now that we've been operating the building, and obviously we're operating at a fairly low occupancy right now, but do we have a sense for what an annual operating expense would be for the building?
We do. I've shared that with FSU because they requested that 7 months ago to determine what the operating costs of the building are, which will be frankly cheaper for them when you factor in insurance as a material number for us. There's several things that we outsource at probably a higher rate, frankly, than FSU would be paying for those things.
Are we paying janitorial now?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll pick that up, obviously.
Yeah, they'll pick it all up. I mean, we won't have any expenses.
Yeah, they can operate cheaper than we can.
Landscaping, insurance, of course.
Yeah.
Nothing that we need to tease out in this meeting, but I'm curious, more of a curiosity of when we first projected operating expense of this building, were we even in the right ballpark?
You say first.
Like when we projected it, when we had this idea, that's a, depends on when you
the original projections?
Yes.
We're so Pollyannish. again, insurance cost of $10,000 a year, utility bills of $20,000 a year, which is basically a month.
Yeah.
There were the staffing was going to be staffed with like 2.5 personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, those were just unrealistic.
Yeah.
And I know that there was nothing nefarious. It was just think about a couple of things. Utility prices have gone through the roof. Insurance prices have gone through the roof. Construction prices. I mean, so where do you start? In terms of what we used last year when we put this together, our costs have come in probably a little bit lighter.
Okay.
But it's also, it's not as occupied as we hoped it would be.
Right.
So some of the costs are lower just because there's not as much traffic.
Yep. But then so is revenue.
Huh? And the revenue's light, for sure.
What percent occupancy are we?
I'm going to make up a number here, David, but probably in the 15% range. I mean, we're bringing in about $6,000-$7,000 a month of rent. Keep in mind, the only tenants, or members, rather, in this building are our members that we brought from the other building. So FSU's had a lot of activity and talked to a lot of folks. Again, their standards, I'm not sure, maybe higher in the process. They've got a real formal process and a vetting exercise, which I help them with. And we've got some folks that are in various stages of that process and expect to have 2 or 3 new tenants by the fall. Some of which are local FSU professors working on projects, which is great for commercialization. But the tenants here are the ones we've had. Two of which have moved to larger spaces and taken more. So the rents are a little higher than anticipated because Piercic has taken 2 more rooms. Eric has moved to a more expensive room. So,
got it. Okay.
We had some discussion on a number of occasions where we believe the occupancy for the top floor was fully committed. That kind of didn't happen. Those were expectations, I think, that were laid out as we were looking at what might happen. Obviously, FSU is going to be more stringent, more insightful, I guess, on who they allow to come into the building.
Is that a question?
Are you believing that to be accurate?
They're certainly going to be more deliberate and less desperate to try to get folks into the building. They want them to be complementary of what they've got going on with the existing tenant mix, with projects they think are important, and they're going to make sure they travel through a process, and a vetting process, which frankly, if you were to look at that process from a potential member, you're like, well, I've already got a little business. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to fill out your forms. I mean, so I get that, entrepreneurs have got stuff they want to focus on and that, there'll be some resistance to that. Which there has been. But But they did make all of our guys go through it that came over, and they all thought it was a pain. They're like, what do you mean? I'm already in the building. And they said, well, we want to set an example, and this is how we do it. And you've got to participate in the programming, which some folks just want cheap space. And they want folks that are going to participate in the training, the programming, the interaction with the the community, if you will, of the lab, which was the concept of this incubator, was that there was a community.
And to tease that out one layer further, which is, when we started talking about this distributing assets to FAM and FSU, there is a reason why FAM and FSU are better suited to have these types of facilities and own them and operate them as part of a much larger program. For us, without the benefit of that larger research program and infrastructure, we are in peril quickly if we don't have tenants.
Yeah.
The universities, able to be very disciplined in who they bring in so that it complements the larger initiative, the larger program based on their infrastructure.
And they can provide the other services and programming that we could never provide. Remember, keep in mind, we were trying to get tenants in here before it opened, trying to get tenants in Collins Building, and we were not successful historically with that.
That's the whole reason why we're doing this. I mean, they can take advantage of the economies of scale as well as the pre-existing overhead, and that's something that we just don't have.
And frankly, guys, they've got a $500,000 payroll in the building of their doing their stuff. And so they're doing programming, they're bringing in speakers, they're doing community-based things to, again, bring traffic to the lab.
Yeah.
But no doubt that this will become a higher and higher priority for them to fill this place. But they are going to follow, they're a bureaucratic, part of a bureaucratic organization that's going to follow processes, perhaps a little bit unlike us, who may be a little bit more cowboyish in certain things in the past.
Well, and then coming back to the budget, I think the 50% variance is understandable and reasonable given the cost pressures, many of which were unanticipated. Insurance, just inflation. I mean, just things in general. I think it's not unexpected to be having that kind of variance. So.
And these are non-controllables.
Yeah,
to be very clear. We're not talking about things that we spent too much on coffee. this is, the insurance market is what the insurance market is.
Yep.
And and there's regular. Think about our regulatory stuff. We get audits still every year because we are a government entity. Sorry, I just didn't want to digress, but I did want to point out some of those things on the financials.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so moving on to number 8.
Just a quick update. FF&E, you guys recall, we got 1.5 from Tallahassee State through State TSC. We have 180,000 right now that has been kind of uncommitted and available. Okay, some of we have about 300 grand in the bank, some of which has been committed. A big one is we're doing an additional fume hood unit going on the roof. It's a $60,000 unit. And then it's a $60,000 install to double the capacity for chemical hoods in the building. We're not doing the duct work, which would be inside the building. FSU, we talked through that with those guys, and they're willing to put that off right now, but they wanted that capacity in place. So that'll bring us down to about $180,000. Another thing I'll mention is, if you recall a couple of meetings back, we purchased a mass spectrometer from one of our tenants. It's broken, and so we convinced him to buy it back at a much greater discount because it's not working, but he is making payments, 4 equal payments of $2,500 to buy that back, and he's also doing all the repairs and fixing it, and it's available for anybody in the lab. But his willingness to do that is he is the big user of the mass spec. So, anyway.
Okay.
Second thing I had there is that, we've covered a lot of it, they're still vetting, renewing our existing members, and again, I think I've already covered that, unless anybody has any further question on the lab operation and members.
Okay, great. Anything else on number 8, Michael?
I don't.
Okay. Any questions? No. All right, moving on to number 9, LCRDA. Mr. Kramer.
Quick update there. The out parcel, if you guys recall, that Dan Foss sits on, was acquired outside of the original 208 acres. That is expected to transfer to Florida State in November. We had an agreement, a transaction agreement, that has been amended to buy some more time. FSU's done part of work, title work's done, but there's other matters they had to clean up. So that's in process. That will not go through DEP because it is a fee simple on the property. So that'll happen in November. I had a conversation on July 9th with a representative from the EDA, a guy named Greg Vidae, about the transfer of the lab and the build-to-scale grants. And he assured me that it would be completed before the end of the calendar year. So okay. We are waiting on them. They have requested, but it's already been over 6 weeks from FSU, some documents which FSU turned relatively quickly. So they're not waiting on us for anything. I send an email almost every 2 weeks about, is there anything you need from us or FSU? I told him I would give him an additional week since he told me such good news of the end of the year before I start pestering again, because they're still work. They still will require things, right? Just him saying it's not going to all be done on the EDA's part. It's going to be the EDA telling us and FSU what we need to do next. So I'm just going to constantly warn him. So that's where that is expected to happen. The ponds and the roads, if you will, and the pond in the middle of the park. That is already in process with DEP. If you recall, we thought we would do that last, if you guys recall, in the initial planning here. But because the lab has taken so long, we decided to put that in front. So that exercise, the legal descriptions have been done. FSU has been notified and requested, asked if they had an interest in that parcel, which they've responded. So this is making its way through the DEP. I expect that to be done sometime between now and the end of September. So the only thing we'll have left once that's done, and the out parcel, as far as park is related, we'll have the two lots and this pond, the two lots under this lab and the pond back here. And that's the last thing that we'll transfer from the park, and that'll go to FSU, but we're waiting on the EDA. Got it. That's all I've got on that. Those entities, just remember we had the tornado, the work on the pond that we approved recently has started. They're going to be working on that, we think, through the middle of September. So hopefully that'll be done this fiscal year, and I'll have paid that $62,000. If it hasn't, that's where my cash might move a little bit. Once we pay that, we'll request from FEMA the reimbursement of 75% is what we're eligible for. It's a reimbursement contract, so I can't request it until it's done and paid for. And maybe there may be a FEMA inspection, in fact, ultimately, too.
You anticipate any complications with if there's a delay on the FEMA reimbursement?
Yes, everyone has assured me I can expect long delay in reimbursements.
Just ask the county about that.
Yeah. Well, FSU, we met with FSU already. Haven't had any conversations with FAMU about the Collins building in particular, but FSU has got folks been running around Johnson & Morgan trying to assess their damage. They have got read-only access, if you will, to our FEMA account, so that they can start looking at what we've already submitted. We've tried to move those things along as we can, but really focusing on the pond and the trail one since we're taking control and funding that one.
Okay.
Again, I said the pond we started. Just to remind, we did make the June $251,000 payment to FSU. Eisenhower property, I just mentioned it, only because the last meeting or two, we have given it a lot of airtime. But we agreed to discuss this at the beginning of the fiscal year, so we probably won't discuss that until really the October meeting when we have a better visibility of the pond transfers, out parcel transfer, where we are with the EDA. That's when we thought that conversation made sense. Obviously, you guys are welcome to make a different change in that.
So and then, let's stay on Eisenhower for a second, because I remember this. I was going to send you some information.
You were?
And I did not.
I was going to wait to the end. That was my big finish to give you a time about that.
Well, let's finish, and then I'll jump in.
No, I'm just joking. Next fiscal year budget, I will share with you guys just some notes that I've made. We're going to try and schedule a budget committee meeting probably during August. My key assumption is, and you guys were all here last year, what I try to do when I present a budget is to really talk about 6 or 8 key assumptions. The actual Excel spreadsheet, if you will, is going to just be a mathematical representation of those assumptions. And so my key assumptions, which are subject to discussion here at the budget meeting, ultimately at the board meeting, are as follows. That the roads at Pond A, what I just mentioned, will be transferred by September 30th of 2025. That the pond repairs will be completed by the end of September this year. That the out parcel will be transferred by November 1st of 2025. That the FFE, the Furniture, Fixture, and Equipment Fund, will be fully exhausted by 12/31/2025. The reason that's important is I want to be able to have that done as quickly as possible so we can button that up nice and clean so that if TSC ever gets audited, I don't want them to have a bunch of challenges or any challenges, frankly. The lab and the build to scale have been transferred by 12/31. Again, these are my assumptions. Now, keep in mind, my track record on this one in particular is horrific. Since last year, I predicted it would be 12/31/24. So that the land, 5E, 6E, and Pondy will be transferred by March 31st. And the reason there's a difference, because remember, we're going to race to get the grants and the build to scale transferred. My assumption is that the DIRT DEP piece will chase that. Could be at the same exact day. In a perfect world, they would happen within the same time. I'm hedging here. I'm just making an assumption. Could be so. I won't try and drag it to that. I'm just assuming that something is going to lag the other. And then that we will complete our 2025 audit by March 31st of 2026. Okay? And then the other biggies, but not really assumptions, one is that we will not be making another principal and interest payment to FSU beyond the one we just, the interest payment we made in June, if you recall. The next payment would be due in June of next year, assuming the transfer will have happened, everything forgiven at that point in time. Obviously, if we miss that, and we made it somehow longer, FSU may feel differently as they did this year, because we still haven't settled up on anything. And that puts me, based on our current budgets, at an estimated cash June 30, not 9/30 of next year, June 30 of next year, of $500,000. And that's what I'm working towards from really at this point. We can talk about a budget all we want. What we're really talking about is a cash circumstance, right?
Yep.
Now, there are a number of things I did not mention that I think will still need to happen. The decrement rights, the CAM transfer obligations, the PUD, we're going to have to deal with that and coordinate that with FSU and FAM. The coordination of the FEMA grants on Collins, Johnson, and Morgan. We've got to solve this National Park Service payment issue. I've got to address the leases at Collins and Morgan building, which now store the historical records of the RDA. And so when this county accepts whatever we do, where do they want those things? Those are good for 2.5 years still, but we've got to address that, right?
Yeah.
The board will have to vote, I assume sometime by April, on the dissolution, and if the board votes on dissolution. We'll have to notify the county. The county has to run their process, and I'm assuming that could happen by June 30. Of next year. There can be approved subject to other tasks. So you can have the approval from the county. I spoke with Chastity. They could approve a dissolution subject to completing A, B, C, and D. So it wouldn't be effective until we did some certain things, you know, mopping up this, transfer Eisenhower, whatever you want to sell.
If we had to.
That's right. I mean, so that's not like they vote on it one day and we find out the next morning, though, it gets the result. The other one we've got to figure out is IPPLH. We control that not for profit. We would have to dissolve that not for profit too. So these are lists. I don't have specific dates on some of those. They could be happening when we have real visibility. I think we can move through most of those quickly. Create some urgency, if you will. FSU and FAM, they're going to figure out CAM. So anyway, those are kind of the major tasks. I put together a budget, and I haven't shared this with the budget committee yet, but just to give you a sense of where I came up with how we end up with $500,000, the monthly run rate on the lab is $35,000. Cash consumed, and that's net of rents, right? The monthly run rate on the RDA is about $35,000. So an additional month on either one of those is an extra $35,000. On the two of them together, it's $70,000. So that's how the math works.
Do we have a for sale sign on Eisenhower property?
We do not.
Should we?
We could.
What do you think?
So we'll unpack that. Wear my FSU hat. I am working on assisting another department at the university with the sale of a piece of property. It is similarly sized. It is proximate to, by all counts, it is going to be the best comp. We've had one appraisal. That appraisal came in at $60,000 an acre.
Much less than what we were told 18 months ago.
There will be a second appraisal that's done, and we're going to... So we have one very solid data point that gives us an indication to what our value is. Mm-hmm. Our property is... 18 acres, so 18.
It's still a real number at 60 even. I mean, yeah. That's right. You're still talking $1 million back in. Mm-hmm. And we had thought, you know, 1.5 to 2 was kind of the initial that we had gotten. It was not an appraisal. It was a
real estate
broker. Probably doing what they usually do to get somebody to list it, right? And it was 18 months ago.
Yeah. And so I think that What Kramer has given us a visual towards is how quickly we're going to get down to a balance sheet that has $500,000 in cash. And then we need to be paying attention to how do we operate, if we need to continue to operate, how much longer do we need to operate, what are the potential hurdles, is that property better held as a land asset or does it need to be converted to cash? So I think that there are certainly some right turn, left turn decisions that the board will need to make. I have no reservation about listing that property for sale. I mean, a long-term hold of land for an institution that may not exist more than a year, that land is not, it's not doing anything productive. It's not hurting us, but it's not doing anything productive for us. And one of the things that will have to happen, just like we've been distributing all the assets inside the park, is that's another asset that will have to be distributed at some point for some reason, somehow. So it's probably not a bad idea that we go ahead and explore what the market looks like.
And Kevin, you know more about this than I do. This is your wheelhouse, but we will also need to consider what might happen if the property's up on for sale while we're in the midst of dissolution. You have people looking at the building. You know, how does that work? If you know, depending on what stage of dissolution we might be at, how much does that complicate things? Right.
I'm sorry. The
like, if let's say we put it up for sale. And while we're going through the process of dissolution.
You know. Mentioned the building, though. Okay. Yeah.
It's just raw land.
This is just the raw land. This is not the Dan and Foss out parcel.
Okay, got it.
So right now, that property has pine trees. Yeah. No, it's not a pine forest. It's just it's raw land. But it's zoned well, and certainly there's probably a strategic value for somebody that wants to be proximate to the park, but not necessarily in the park.
Who are the adjacent owners? And would any of them want to acquire?
I'm going to ask a question. Maybe I'll address this. Why would we want to sell it? What does it do?
Why, I think simply to convert it to cash so that the cash would be easier dispersed than trying to disperse half to FSU, half to FAMU.
It's also easier to spend.
Do what?
It's also easier to spend.
Say again.
It's also easier to spend.
Yep.
Which I don't know.
Or give away.
I don't know that, if we get to June of next year, we'll have knocked off a bunch of these things. Is it prudent to take all the urgency off of all the things that need to happen by having a bigger cash cushion? And am I saying that in a weird way?
No, that's, your point's well made. If we have more cash, it's easier for us to
go into the quarter.
Lose the sense of urgency.
Yep. I also think if we're in the middle of an exercise of dissolution, we're probably not going to get top dollar. Because we're a nicked up seller, right?
And we wouldn't say we have to sell right away, but the implication.
Anybody would do clear. Have to do very little homework.
Yeah,
I'm guessing the county knows right now.
Closer we get to dissolution, the more discount we're going to probably have to take for the sale.
Which again potentially moves into, what are we protecting at that point? Are we doing the best thing for the dirt, or are we doing for the best thing for an entity that we plan on dissolving? I just, from a board fiduciary obligation, I think that gets to be a weird space.
Well, it'd be nice to have as big a pocket as we could to disperse to whomever.
But the land will have the value that it's going to have, whoever it gets dispersed and how.
In order for somebody to accept it, if it's another asset that gets distributed, case in point is the Dan Foss out parcel. There is all the due diligence that goes with accepting a piece of property. When that property transfers, unlike a TIF property, TIF property is simply changing the name on the lease, working with DEP. What FSU and the RDA are working on with the out parcel looks like and resembles a very traditional land transaction, which is why FSU and the RDA just entered into an extension so that FSU can complete its diligence. So when we get ready to transfer that, there are actually costs associated with transferring. Those costs include the cost of survey, environmental, any other inspections, title commitments, title policies, all of the things. So it's not a straight handout, and it does take time. I think that those are areas that we're going to have to pay attention to. The question then, though, is handing the property at some point in the future, is that is preserving that location for the purposes and the mission of research and economic development, is it better to hand strategically located property to one of the universities or back to the county, or is it better to have the cash value of that to do the same?
Yes, that's the big question.
That is the question.
Okay, so given the fact that I don't want the fact that the university is working on this other transaction of comparable property to somehow disturb this conversation, there are reasons why the university is working on that other transaction. Okay, so it can say, without further teasing that out, it can sound like I'm talking out of one side of my mouth and then out of the other. There are very different purposes.
Well, there's an easy way to kind of resolve this question. It's like, you know, one thing we could do is to simply ask the county, if it would be transferred to the county, what would be the preference? Would it be the property that they'd want, or would it be the actual cash from the sale? If it ends up going to the county, I have no problem asking our real estate folks what they prefer, our county administrator. And there's no, what's different than FSU is that there's no skin off our nose if we just ask the counties, like, listen, you know, we have this decision we might be choosing to make. What's your preference?
Well, it's not given that the county would get the cash, is it?
It's a little bit ambiguous if you were to go back to our original documents. Yeah. It said upon dissolution and after settling our debts, the property and assets would be equally split among the universities.
That's where I was thinking.
But having said that, the date of that document precedes, and I'm going to get this word wrong, maybe Peggy will remember, the reconstitution term. That was in 78. In 1980, the state and authorities had new policies, and our entity had to be reformed, reconstituted by the county. Does that language that existed before we were formed in that document, does that hold? I don't know the answer.
I think what I want the board to consider is in context and in keeping with our mission of research and economic development, what can we do? How could we deploy the value of that property, whether it's in dirt or in monetary value? What could we do to best invest that to achieve the mission? I think handing it back to the county is a failure of achieving the mission, because that the county's purpose isn't research and economic development. Now, the county may desire it for some other purpose, but inside of the narrow cone of our mission, the county's purposes don't necessarily sit inside of that.
Yeah.
I think that the board ought to consider what do we need to do in order to pursue our mission.
And I would add, if you consider the fact that we have distributed Johnson, Morgan, Collins, Knight, the out parcel, the roads, the pond, the land, it is clearly within our authority as an entity to distribute things. We're talking a little bit about, do we do this before or after a dissolution exercise, right? Because up until, once we voted on dissolution, I think we have, I don't know the right term, but now we have invited, the county now must have a say, I'm assuming, at some point. But today, we do and distribute things, assets, real estates, as a board and as an independent entity. And so we haven't forfeited that right at present.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in that same context, I also think it's a failure on behalf of the board if we allow the value of the property to somehow take the urgency off of us finishing our primary task. And therefore, I think the board needs to figure out an investment strategy. How are we going to invest that land or the value of that land to pursue research and economic development? And that needs to be separate than just creating a separate slush fund in case things don't happen as efficiently as we need to on an operating level.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I right in thinking or expecting the value of that to go down the closer we get to dissolution?
I don't see that the same way because the it. For us, it's not a fire sale. The land will go, if we don't sell it, we're going to transfer it. We're going to transfer it to an institution who has as part of its purpose research and economic development. So whether it happens, the transaction happens on our side or another institution's side, I don't personally see it as a fire sale. Situation.
It may affect what people will offer because of the circumstances, but I don't believe it affects the value. That's just because, right. Remember, at some point, an entity that's perpetual will own it. Whether that's a county or university, they're not going to have to be under any kind of time pressure on anything.
Right.
And I don't think we should impose a time constraint on us regarding that.
Agreed.
You know, and also probably I would probably discourage the thought of us having the sale of the property as another checkbox for us. On the county list of things you have to check before we're officially dissolved. You know, I think that's something we should avoid.
Yep. That's my reluctance to ask.
Yeah, yeah. And just to be clear, Kevin, you know, I'm wearing my LCRDA hat right now, not my county hat. So I'm not trying to angle for the county to acquire the property in any way. I think the mission of this body here is as you stated,
yeah.
Right? And so I think whatever serves the mission of this entity is what we need to think of first and foremost.
Agreed.
So,
would we believe that FSU or FAMU would either one want just one half of that property? And what would they
want? One half of the property?
One half of it. If we divided it half to FAMU, half to FSU.
So the
that would seem to me like something that would be desirous of them taking it.
The universities, both universities certainly like land, and land that doesn't require any effort.
Yep.
The effort would be on our side, because our side being the RDAs, because we would actually go through a process of splitting land in order to distribute it like that. And I don't know...
Would FSU want one half of that?
Well, going back to my previous comment, the universities, they're good at receiving property, particularly property that doesn't require them to do anything or pay anything.
Yep.
But neither does that suggest that the property will be used in furtherance of our mission. Now, once it goes to one of the universities, It certainly sits inside of their mission. And our board may look at that and say, anything that we can do to support the two universities institutions of higher education that perform all this, anything that we can do to support those two institutions is a good thing, and therefore, I think that that decision is one step removed from the RDA making a direct investment in research and economic development. And I don't know what that answer is. I just think that handing those properties over is a step removed. And maybe that's the best thing that our board can do without some other understanding of a way to invest the money. Because quite honestly, if what we did is invested, if we sold the properties and we took half the money and gave it to FAM and the other half and gave it to FSU, it's no different than giving them halfsies on the land, because it's simply adding to the balance sheets. And that doesn't necessarily, when we give it away, we no longer control what they do with it. Doesn't matter if it's land or cash.
Yeah. Understand that. I just can't, in my mind, believe that either one of them would want one half of that.
It's not ideal, but
yeah. I mean, the price of it.
Half is better than zero, yeah. But they would have to figure it out. I mean, I don't know that doing anything with Eisenhower helps us deal with all the stuff we're trying to deal with. And again, I'm reluctant to say let's get another pot of $1 million, because that takes, frankly, the pressure off FSU. It takes the pressure off the county, potentially. Let's keep the heat on what we're trying to get done and keep a deadline.
What were some of the ideas that revolved around developing scholarships?
We talked about that. One of the ideas was that we would fund some of our cash, which again, remember, this is pre-dissolution, right? We'd have to have some visibility of where we're headed in the relatively near term whenever we were to make such a decision, is we would pre-fund something that could be administered for companies formed with FSU or FAMU IP that wanted to rent space in the lab, and this would pay for a year's rent or whatever. It'd be administered by FSU or FAMU or we wouldn't be in the administration business that. Ignite people, whatever. But there could be a fund which would pump that money back into the park, back into research and development and commercialization, back into the two universities. It's very consistent with kind of the mission, if you will, of the RDA. You could sell Eisenhower and have that money go for that. My bigger fear is I don't want that to be working capital, because then it won't have done exactly those things we have discussed at a very preliminary level. It advances the survival, but not the mission.
What if we were to go to both to the FSU Foundation and the FAMU Foundation, and if we sold Eisenhower, we took the proceeds half and half and put it in dedicated funds that were specifically for the purpose of investing in research. And somehow that could be linked back to Ignite if FAM and FSU have prospective tenants, or not tenants, but companies that they want to help incubate, then the dollars could be drawn from those funds.
So your point is not necessarily encumber us with creating a whole new scholarship program, but rather
definitely
using the existing foundation structure that exists already.
And have it directed by someone that it would be used for.
And those foundations would prefer cash rather than just a piece of land.
Yeah, or quite honestly, we could also look at giving the monies to both of the university's foundations with some endowed scholarship program for research and economic development, where those dollars would, the way, I'm sure everybody knows this, but the way the endowments work is there's an investment, and it's the return on the investment that's used in perpetuity. So.
Yeah.
That'd be good use of it, and be consistent with our mission.
So going back to the very first question, do we want to put a for sale sign on it? And I don't have a recommendation. I'm asking the question because I don't know.
Okay, so I'm. Let's. What if we were to bring to the board, the full board, the decision to invest the proceeds of Eisenhower into the two universities' foundations for the purpose of some dedicated research, and the way we accomplish that is by selling the property. I mean, in other words, we're not selling the property just to sell the property. The end game is working with the universities, with their foundations, and some dedicated research capacity, and the way that we are going to fund that is we're going to sell that property.
Yeah.
That's where I'm happy.
Okay.
That's a good point.
That's my motion.
Well, I'll second that motion.
All in favor of the motion, as stated, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion is unanimous. All right.
We're still talking about Eisenhower.
We love Eisenhower. We got it.
Okay. I'm trying to think of anything else I really had, and I don't think there is. We talked about the assumptions for the budget. You have a woodpecker problem that I'm trying to figure out.
Really?
Yeah. But other than that, that's it. That's what I got. $5,000 to get a crane and the exterior guys to come. Wow. Fix about five spots that the woodpecker has worked. And the issue is, because we didn't want them to tear up the grass, so they have to be in the parking lot, they have to have this massive boom truck. I did talk to him yesterday, I said, like, how bad would the grass get torn up? And so they're trying to find me an alternative where they bring in, pull a truck in with a scissor lift behind it, go straight up. Because if the crane itself or the boom truck is, you know, $2,500, and it's, we used to have a couple of rods. All right, so maybe I spend $500 on sod repair.
Yeah,
and go to the cheaper method. So they're re-quoting it for me. But anyway, we've got to deal with. I called Fish and Wildlife to try to figure. You're not allowed to really do a lot with woodpeckers. They're pretty solid. They're pretty, you know, they're gutsy. They feel like they own the joint. I'll be honest.
The damage is on this building.
Oh yeah. Go look in front of my office. Yeah. And there's some back here, and there's some on the side. It'd be nice if they were all clustered together, but they're not. They're in there. They got all four walls going.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, if there aren't any other updates, yeah. Michael, move on to new business. Any new business? Number 10?
The only thing I was going to recommend that the board executive would consider is not having an August meeting of the full board. 2 weeks from now, as you guys can tell, there's very little to cover that's critical. I'd like to have I was hoping to use that date that's already on everybody's calendar for a budget committee meeting to go through whatever level of detail is required, those budget assumptions and the resulting financials and where the cash will be. And that would have the budget committee kind of brought to speed with where you guys are, unless they had some material changes. And then we push our next board meeting, wouldn't be until the first week of October, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yep. At which point we could vote on the budget. We're through the end of the fiscal year where we agreed to reopen the conversation on Eisenhower. I'd like to limit that to less than 45 minutes, if possible, which is probably unlikely. And then we would also kind of see where we are on some of these other transactions that have hopefully happened by that point in time.
The only thing I think we have traditionally done in the August meeting is elect officers for the following year. And sometimes we try to get the budget approved in August for the following year. But,
I'm putting a budget together through June of next year.
Yeah.
When do the officer terms finish?
They start October 1. That's the only thing I'm thinking of that has been traditionally expected of the August meetings.
Does it make sense to have a meeting? That's all we can come up
no,
with.
No, I'm not suggesting we need the meeting.
I know, I think that's fair.
I'm just...
And I don't know why we approved the budget. May have been in October last year because we didn't have a budget meeting until September. So I know we did last year, we moved the budget was created. And frankly, the benefits of waiting to the last minute is I've got more real-time data at that point in time.
Yeah.
And there's not that many moving pieces on our budget other than potentially properties transfer. And maybe things go faster, you know, in terms of the EDA. And the big one, the linchpin to a lot of this, frankly, is the lab and the EDA, and that's why we jumped the ponds and roads in front, so that we just didn't want to wait anywhere.
Well, unless the bylaws require us to do that in August, I see no reason to have an August meeting.
I agree.
And if the bylaws require that, is there a way we can vote to overrule the bylaws at that point in time to elect officers in October?
I don't.
Can we call the October meeting the August meeting? That's what I'm saying. Just the late August meeting.
It's all brand new.
I may be throwing up something that's not even necessary to consider, but...
I do not expect us to get a bunch of objections to canceling the August meeting, in all fairness.
I don't expect that either. In fact, I'm recommending we do that.
Yeah, I like you too.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I don't mean to be a stickler, but if the new terms start October 1, and we're meeting October 2nd, what's the issue with that?
Well, that's why I bring it up. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Can this group vote to extend their terms by a week?
Well, the bylaws say that if we continue in the office until such time that there is an election.
Is that what we said?
I don't know. I'm asking if it says that.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Well, so we need to answer that question. So in lieu of that, just to be clear for the record, contingent on us being able to do that and extend the terms of the current officers by a week, is there a motion to basically cancel the August 7th board directors meeting, replace it with the budget committee, and then schedule the board of directors meeting, the board of governors meeting for October 2nd?
Yeah, can we do that? Can this committee
provided
do
that,
that?
There's a... Yep. Provided there are no cancel legal obstacles to us doing that.
Cancel a board meeting? Okay.
So this motion would be, I can't make the motion as chair, but if the
I'll
motion...
I'll make the motion.
Okay. A second.
All in favor of the motion as stated, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. It's unanimous.
I know.
We'll find out.
And so if there is a legal obstacle for us doing that, we would need to
address it.
Or move it to the last week of September.
Yes. Yes. True. And that would solve it.
Well, could the October meeting be the last week of September?
Yeah, that'd be the easy way. That'd be the easy fix.
Right.
So, okay.
Instead of October 2nd, it'd be September 28th or something. Or
yeah, you got it. Any other new business? All right. Seeing as there's no new business, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. I'll second that. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.